Good morning, everyone. I'm John Thomas Hill, as you can obviously tell from the title of this show. And I wanted to come in today to talk about the police. We have a problem, and that is that we have a serious fracturing of the relationship between the police and the communities they serve. And we need to talk about it. Now, for some of you, you respect the police. You were brought up like myself to respect the police. They have a very difficult job of maintaining law and order and all of that. And growing up, you didn't see the police as any sort of threat or any to you or anything like that. If you they came to get you, you did something wrong. That's the way many of us were brought up. By the way, for those of you who didn't know, I am white. I grew up in the South, but I had many black friends. I still have many black friends. And to many of them, their views of the police are quite different. This has been going on for decades, if not longer than that. What we're seeing right now is the culmination of decades of issues between the police and the African American community. And despite the best efforts of some political activists, politicians, civil rights leaders, and even police officers themselves and law enforcement officials themselves, we still have a gaping divide between the police and minority communities in which they serve. I don't have any easy answers for that. I wish I did. Every person is different. We all grow up learning that. Every police department is different. Every community is different. Not every African American is the same. Not every Hispanic American or Caucasian American or whatever American. We're all different. There's no easy answers to this because what would work, say, in Forest City, North Carolina may not work in Tucson, Arizona, or Austin, Texas, or Fresno, California, or Muncie, Indiana, or Minneapolis, Minnesota. But we need to talk about this. And mainly I need to talk about this. I've never been in any legal trouble whatsoever in my life. Never been arrested. I think I may have called the cops half a dozen times in my lifetime. And I think the only time I've ever had to call one, and other than an emergency, was when someone was trying to get in my back door and it turned out it was a junkie who thought that that was the house they were supposed to get in. The cop at that time handled it very professionally, and you know, nothing, to be honest with you, at that particular incident, I just wanted him out of the yard. I didn't care how they did it, as long as it was within reason. I didn't want to beat up or anything, just to kind of get them out there as quickly as possible. And the cop, looking back at it, handled it as well as he could under the circumstances. And did it with no force whatsoever, basically cajoled them after a time. And admittedly, at the time, I was kind of impatient at the moment because I did not know this person. And I was afraid this person might do something drastic, but, you know, it is what it is. We need to talk about this because if we don't start talking about this and be frank with each other and be frank that we do have racial issues in this country. People who claim there's no racism in America anymore are fooling themselves. There's been racism. There always will be racism. It's just how we deal with it. That's the problem. It's easy to say, well, if people would just obey the police's orders. But here's the problem. What if those orders are illegal and unconstitutional? What if the police officers, and this is not all police officers, let's get away from this all or nothing argument. Think about this. Your workplace that you work in, how many people do you trust implicitly in your workplace? Maybe some, maybe most, perhaps in some cases all, depending on the size of your workplace. But let's say you go to your church. How many people in that church do you trust implicitly? Some, most, but probably not all. Most likely not all. Go to your kid's school. How many of the teachers and school officials do you trust implicitly? Some, most, but not all. But yet, if you are to believe what we're told, and this is coming from the perspective of a white Southern male, you're told that the police should be trusted no matter what. Or that has been implied. But police officers are not a small group of people. They are a wide group of people. They come from a wide variety of backgrounds. They're not all going to think the same. They're not all going to think the same. They're not all going to be of the same beliefs. They're not all going to be of the same temperament. You're going to have good cops. You're going to have cops that are bad. You're going to have cops that are indifferent, that they're just there to pick up a paycheck. There are a lot of good cops out there. There are a lot of bad cops. We probably will never get rid of all the bad cops. That's just life. What we can do is find a way to wean them out as quickly as possible. So where that we can get to the point where if there is a bad cop, they can be identified and gotten out of the service as quickly as possible. Now, how we do that, I have no idea. Well, I do have some ideas, but I don't have a conclusive idea. One idea that I had centered around having cops have to get a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and do 4 years of in a university setting. That seems good in theory, but the demand for officers right now is quite high. The pay is not that great, and I'll be perfectly frank, I think we should pay police officers more, like we should teachers, like we should firefighters. You get what you pay for. Some officers have to go to police academies. Depending on what academy they go to, it may be basically like basic training in the military. Or it may be a concentrated college level class that's specifically designed to train people in a particular way to deal with particular problems faced with the law enforcement field. What is needed is a dialogue, a clear dialogue, and not just, well, if they just simply obey the law. Crime doesn't just happen because there are bad people and good people. That's easy to think that it's life's a lot more grayer than that. If you hadn't realized it by now and you're at my age, you're delusional. You've had good people that have stolen things because to feed their hungry kids. You've got bad people that kill somebody just for the hell of it. Police officers have a lot to deal with. We know that. They go to work every single day with the risk of potentially not coming back home to their families. That's pretty heavy stuff. They probably aren't getting as paid in many communities as well as they should be. They may not have the support, the departmental support, the governmental support, the community support they need. But at the same time, the community has to hold them accountable. This whole thing, to me, is a problem of there are multiple problems here. And it's not just the police, it's communities as well. Police have to be held accountable. They're no better than you or I. They have laws that they have to follow to do their job. And when they break those laws, they should be held accountable. It's that simple. And in the George Floyd case, it appears that they did break the law, that they did break procedure. I don't care if George Floyd's life was. There are people that talk about, well, he was a bad guy, he was a criminal and all this. Maybe so. Still doesn't excuse what happened to him. I don't care if he killed 100 people. I don't care what color he was. You don't deserve to be treated that way. Now, and I saw the video. More than one video, by the way. I felt the same way about Rodney King. They could have found a way to detain him in a way that didn't kill him or hurt him. By the way, Rodney King wasn't killed in the beating, by the way, in 1991. The problem is that the police are trained in such a way that I think that they become their own little community. You've heard about the thin blue line. I think that in many ways, the police see the so-called civilian world, and they think they have to, quote, dominate it like the president says. Well, if you ever notice on most police cruisers, there's a phrase that says to protect and serve. Theoretically, it means the community as a whole. But to some, it means something different. And it could be argued that there's some truth to this. That only means to protect and serve certain members of the community or certain demographics of the community. And this is not a broad general stroke of all police departments in all communities. Like I said before, every community is different, every police department is different, every police officer and citizen is different. It's important to note that because, frankly, there is no easy answers to any of this. And all these protests are just the start of what really needs to be a long national dialogue about what the relations between the police and the community should be in a democracy, in a freedom-loving country. In a democracy, in a freedom-loving country, the police should treat every citizen equally. We know for a fact that doesn't happen that way. And it's not just black and white. It's rich and poor. Let's say you are a white person who goes into a store and you go through a checkout, a self-checkout, and you forget to scan one item. You walk through the door and they stop you for shoplifting. Now, if I did that, and I'm not a rich person by any stretch of the imagination, I'd probably be in trouble with the law. I might be able to get away with it by simply saying I forgot to check to make sure. And to be truth be told, this actually happened, but I've never been stopped. I've never had the police call me before. It actually happened a couple times, small little things. I actually went back both times and told them, hey, I forgot to pay for this. Can I pay for it now? We all had a laugh, but that might have always happened that way. If you're a rich person, you could go, you know, and it's not all for rich people. Like I said, there's this broad strip, but there's this perception that if you're rich, you can get away with things. If you're famous, you can get away with things. And the perception in minority communities that if you're white, you can get away with things. Or you're more likely to get away with them, or you may not get as punished as much. And there's plenty of cases where that's true. Democracy is not something that magically happens and is perfect. This country, in its preamble of its constitution, says we're striving toward a more perfect union. That means we're not perfect right now. We were not perfect when the Constitution was written. We're not perfect right now. We've never been perfect. We never will be perfect. The goal is to strive toward a more perfect union, knowing that most likely we're never going to get to a perfect, 100% perfect union. But the goal is to make this country better. The goal is to have a country where no matter what skin color you are, no matter what ethnic group you are, no matter sexual orientation, sexual preference, whatever, gender, whatever, you are treated equally under the law. And we know for a fact that is not the case. It should be, but it's not. These are difficult conversations to have because there are police officers who think that the media, certain political groups, certain religious organizations, certain whatever is out to get them. In fairness, maybe that's the truth, or maybe there's a reason for that. Like I said before, police officers are not all stamped from the same mold. You've got good cops, bad cops, and indifferent cops. They're not automatons, they're not robots. In a diverse society as ours, you're going to have to find a way to bring into the field of law enforcement officers who can generally be trusted upon to a certain degree to do the right thing. They're not going to be perfect. They are going to make mistakes. We're not doing as good of a job of that as we should. I think part of the reason is that we don't pay our officers enough. It's like with teachers. You wonder why your kid's education isn't as good as it has been in the past. It's mainly because teachers, the good teachers, some of the good teachers, look at how much they're getting paid and dealing in regards to how much stuff they're having to deal with. And they go, well, I could have a lot less stress in my life and have a lot more enjoyable job and make more money, why am I still teaching? And the critics say, well, it's a calling. You're not supposed to get rich off of teaching. Well, are we not living in a capitalist society where the goal is to make a very good living for your family? We have a lot of questions and answers. And that last point pertains to police as well. I wish I had a lot of solutions. I wish I had detailed, defined solutions and all that, but I don't. I'm just an average American person, white person, who sees what's going on and goes, we gotta fix this. This is the 21st century. Why do we still have racism? Why do we still have all this crap? Why is it that police brutality, and we know it exists, maybe there are some incidences that get it blown out of proportion, maybe there's not. But the truth of the matter is, we gotta address this. It ain't easy. And there's not every case is gonna be exactly the same. It's not gonna be black and white and all that. I mean, black and white from the perspective, this side's right, this side's wrong. There's gonna be shades of gray. A lot more than you'd like to admit. First thing we can do is to find ways to hold the police accountable when they do wrong, when officers do wrong. It's never a good idea to have a particular group investigate themselves to find wrongdoing when they're in a position of authority. And when it comes to the police, I think that they will be biased, if not intentionally, but subconsciously. If you're a police officer and a fellow officer, say at another department, is charged with a crime, your tendency is to, initially at least, believe the officer. Some will automatically, no matter what happens, believe the officer. Some will try their best to maintain a neutral position until the facts are there in a conscious effort, but subconsciously, hey, they're a cop. They understand the job and they know the pressures of the job. And they don't want to throw one of their own under the bus. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, is that in a democratic, free democratic society like we have, we preach justice for all. That's not the case. It's not so much that they're all evil. The cops are not all evil, but there are evil cops. Just as there are evil teachers, so there are evil preachers. There are evil stock associates at a convenience store, a grocery store. Evil cashiers, evil people in general. But when you're in a position of authority, you should be held to a higher standard. Generally, people will agree with that. In theory, in practice, do we really do it? I don't think so. I don't think we do. And I'm not just talking about cops here. I sincerely believe that we need to do more to hold people in positions of authority accountable when they do wrong. I've always believed that. My mom raised me that way. You're supposed to do what the police tell you, but the police should treat you with respect because they're supposed to serve and protect us. We pay their taxes, after all. This isn't about bashing cops or anything like that. This is about holding cops accountable. When they're in the right, I'll praise them. When they're in the wrong, they should be punished for doing wrong. It's that simple. Just like if I were to hold up a bank, is it fair that I should get away scot-free for holding up a bank? Of course not. I don't care what George Floyd did. What I saw in that video, and I'll admit I'm not a cop. It wasn't proper. It wasn't right. Okay? And it's clear to me that we need to have this conversation. Maybe they wanted to make sure, and there are so many other incidents that have happened. We have to investigate these incidents. We have to have people independent of the police departments investigate these incidents because it's important to the community that they can trust the cops in that community. If they can't, and this has gone widespread, this is widespread across the country. You got cops who are very defensive when the media, and I'll be the first to admit, the media loves to blow things out of proportion. It's not that individual reporters want to do it, it's because they've got demands to meet, ratings, points, and all of this. It's the business interfering with the craft of journalism. Just like there are things externally outside of police work that I think interfere with a police officer's work. Let me give you a point. I've known some cops over the years. Now, generally, most of the cops I've known have been, for the most part, pretty good, at least to me, or at least that's the perception. But I've known some that I wouldn't trust in anything. I won't mention their names, I won't mention their departments. But let's just say around here, where I live at, there are good cops and bad cops. And I think that our local law enforcement does not do as good of a job as they should in separating the wheat, which would be the good cops, from the chaff, which would be the bad cops who should not be cops. It's a difficult thing to say because that could be perceived as, oh, you're bashing cops. No, I'm simply wanting the people who are in law enforcement to be held to a higher standard because back in my youth, for a brief period of time, I actually considered going into law enforcement. And you remember when I said I was raised to believe that people in authority should be held to higher standards? Well, when I have been in authority, and the rare occasions in my lifetime where I've had some sort of authority, I lived that principle. I should be held to a higher standard. I shouldn't be able to get away with something just because I am a person of authority. And by the way, I believe that for politicians, corporate executives, people in the clergy, and all of this. I believe that across the board. And I have believed that across the board since I was a little kid. We have a very difficult time in this country right now. You've seen the headlines, you've seen the video, you've seen the footage and all of this of the protest and the rioting and the looting and all of this. I'm not a sociologist, I'm not a psychologist, but I know enough of it to know that this is a systemic problem. This is not just a few bad apples, and I'm not talking about police officers, I'm talking about society in general. We have to have a coming together of the minds, a frank discussion between the police officers and the communities they serve to find out where we stand with one another, how we view one another. And yes, those are going to be divergent opinions. But even with that, statistically, you're going to be able to coalesce a certain mindset of opinions. I thought somebody was coming up the driveway there for just a second. And you can come up with a kind of a generalized perspective of what most people in the communities based on their demographics, and most law enforcement officials are going to believe. There will be some variance in that, but you can come up with a common sense, practical, rationalized opinion of that. And there are some divergences there that need to be addressed. What those are, I wish I could tell you, but I can give you a few ideas. First, police accountability by the citizens of the community. Making sure that the police are held accountable for their actions. That's simple. We pay their taxes. We pay their salaries throughout our taxes. They're giving us service. We expect them to give us the best service. It's like going to Walmart. You expect when you pay for your toaster or your DVD or your t-shirt that you're going to get decent service. Okay? We should expect that of law enforcement officers. Secondly, law enforcement officers should be paid and trained adequately. I firmly believe a law enforcement officer should have a 4-year criminal justice degree. Trained in a wide variety of how to deal with diverse groups of people in diverse possible situations. Train them as best as possible and pay them as the professionals they are. That's what we should do. If it means raising taxes, then let's say what it is. We're raising taxes to pay officers more so they can serve our communities better, so we can attract better people, more qualified people, more intelligent people. There's another problem. We have a system of for-profit prisons in this country. Now, let me walk you through this very quickly. If you have a for-profit prison system where your profit motive is getting as many people in jail as possible so you can make money from the government, and where the government's still paying people to run the jails. It's a better understood this, okay? You're still paying people to run the jails. It's just that you're paying a private group that's got to make a profit some way. Notice the word profit. I've always felt like that when you have a for-profit prison system, whenever this came about, by the way, it is an incentive to find ways to lock people up, regardless of what its impact is to society in general. That's why I think it's a very bad thing to have in a democracy, a for-profit prison system, because you are locking people up, not so much because they break the law or how and making them pay penance to society, but because you want to make this company money. See what I'm getting at? This isn't about the ground-pounding police officer as much as the people above him. The system itself. There's issues with the system that need to be addressed. And if you're a cop, you got a cop out there who's told, we need to be tough on crime. We need to be put more criminals in jail. It's not being tough on crime. You're just finding ways to put people in jail so that you can, this particular company can meet its quota of what the profit's supposed to be for a particular quarter. See where I'm getting at? See where I'm getting at? The criminal justice system isn't what it should be in this country. I don't expect perfection, but I expect some one system that is justice with mercy, where the person who commits the crime will do the time, but if the circumstances are that under certain circumstances, we should be more merciful than maybe in other circumstances. Someone who was driven to kill somebody because kill their wife because their wife was having an affair, and this husband loved his wife dearly and never saw it coming. Do you punish them as much as somebody that picks a fight with somebody and bashes somebody's head in because they just didn't like the way they looked? Of course not. But what can we do? What can we do to make the police better in this country? What can we do to make it more equitable for everyone? I really wish I had those answers. I really do. The police in this country right now feel besieged. The problem is, in some cases, maybe they deserve it. But this is affecting all cops. And there are a lot of good cops out there who bought into, they're serving their communities, they're trying to make the world a better place in all of this, and they feel besieged right now. And I feel for them. The bad cops are feeling like, hey, I shouldn't be picked on by society because I'm a police officer and I can get away with what I want to get away with. Yeah, there are cops who are like that. There are cops who are like that. I'm going to wrap up with this. And this is a perception of mine around here locally. Now, this is not all cops and all of this. There is a perception in this community that we should put cops on a pedestal. And I think it's a very bad thing. They're no better than us. They put their pants on just like we do. They work a very dangerous job, and they do, at times, they do very heroic work. But when you put people on pedestals, they tend to, not all, but some, start thinking they're better than you are. Maybe not consciously, but subconsciously. And that's a perception we need to change. We have to bring cops back down to earth. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. We need a dialogue. We need to have to where a system is in place to where cops are accountable, where the community knows more about what cops do. Because I think there's a legitimate thing to say that, hey, we don't know what a cop goes through. I don't know everything about what a cop does in their line of work. I know some, but I don't know all the details. I don't know what they all face. You can watch all the cop shows you want to. It's entertainment, folks. It's not an educational thing. This live PD or the cop show and all this, it's entertainment. It's not meant to educate, okay? We need that national dialogue. Because I'd like to leave this life thinking about cops the way I grew up in this life, which is that when I see a cop, I can trust them. And nowadays, I'm not so sure because of what I've seen. That's not all cops. I know that. That's not a majority of cops that are bad. Probably a small minority. That's all it takes. When you are an authority, one bad apple can ruin it for the bunch. Because if I can't trust you, if tomorrow a cop was having a bad day and he wanted to pick on me for some reason, and it was later found out this cop just didn't like the way I looked and decided to mess with me, How's that going to make me perceive other cops? Cops are people in authority. They're supposed to be better than they are. But yet, we're not supposed to put them on pedestals either. That's a hard thing to deal with. But then again, they have a hard job. This isn't going to happen. This is going to change anytime soon. This is a long national dialogue, and in some cases, people like the idea of cops going after the people they don't like. We know this. And there are cops that get in the line of work, knowing that they can deal with people they don't like, and they can bully them, or worse. We know this. Racists can mask themselves, camouflage themselves to make themselves look good. That's been that way. This is like sending men to the moon, or sending people to Mars. If not more so, makes astrophysics look simple. Any scientist who says social science is not a real science has never really tried to understand what people are all about. Okay? That's why this is so hard to understand about why these people are protesting as fervently and as frequently as they are. Because this is a social issue that has not been adequately addressed by the government on all levels, by society in general, by the media in general, without sensationalizing it to hell and back. And one of these days, I'm going to have a great big discussion about the media, because it's not as simple as saying media bad, media good. No, it's not like that. As in life, nothing is ever simple. People have their own agendas, people have their own beliefs, people have their own feelings that may contradict and very well contradict with yours. And it's never an easy thing to deal with. We all like to think that everybody believes the same God, reads the same Bible the exact same way we do, follows the law the exact same way, eats their hot dogs the exact same way we do. It's not like that. We have to understand those differences, to deal with those differences, and come up with some sort of way to have a compromise to where we can all understand so we can live in a country somewhat peacefully. It ain't easy. It's not supposed to be easy. We are the grand experiment. We forget that sometimes. Every single nation on this planet has sent people here in a rather sizable community, Even the smallest nation has sent some people here that's more than just a family or two. We are the great experiment for the world. That's why people look to America, because they know of people who know of people who've come here, either to live or to visit or whatnot. We are under the microscope. We can't just be America first, because we are world leaders. And that's what they're looking at. That's why you're seeing Black Lives Matter protests in other countries. Even in countries where you would never think they'd have to deal with this problem. But they are talking about it because they've got their own problems. One last thing, and I'll let you go. This isn't going to happen anytime soon, but we need to start now. If this country is going to survive, we have to start addressing these problems in a frank manner and be willing to admit when we're wrong and be willing to admit when the other side is right. But that's not going to be on every issue. We have to admit one thing: racism cannot be tolerated. Xenophobia cannot, hatred cannot be tolerated in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't mean that we should completely rid ourselves of the person that's hating. But that person who is hating should have to go through, and prove, and to change themselves to stop hating. It's difficult. It's always been difficult. This is a fundamental change in society. This isn't anything that's happened in the last few years. It's been like this since the founding of this country. People of authority have kept people in that they viewed as second-class citizens under the thumb. And the poor whites and poor blacks and poor Hispanics out there, guess what? You have a lot more in common than you think. Well, I'm going to let you go. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope it made you think. I'm not saying I'm right about everything I say. I'll be the first to admit I'm fairly smart, but not the smartest person in the room. I do have my own opinion that I try and keep informed, but I do know I'm not right about everything. I know I don't know everything. I wish I did, but I don't. I try to learn as much as I can every day. But that's it. As I like to say from here, hope you have a great day and good night. Good luck. I mean, the good news be yours.